The beast is here. Today, we start our series looking at the largest stimulus package in American history. And for once, Trump can say he signed the biggest bill into law in American history and not have the fact checkers start twitching. As COVID-19 continues to spiral out of control, here in the U.S., a third bill has become law centered on getting the country through this intact. We talked about the money in the last two laws, but both of those numbers pale in comparison to the $2 trillion at work here. But at more than 850 pages, there is a lot more going on than simply stimulating the economy. And that is what we're going to be digging into. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be looking at H.R. 748, a.k.a. the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. This is Lessons from the Screen. Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. And you are always welcome, unless you ain't. In which case, it is what it is. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a black activist, advocacy, and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for black people in America through education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at PACTSINC.org. That's PAXINC.org. Go on over to the website. You know my spiel because I do it before every show. Leave a comment, leave a review, tell a friend to tell a friend. Check out a book in the Learning Center. Become a member, leave a donation, fill out a survey, do whatever you can to help them because they are doing whatever they can to help you. And we're going to dive right into this. This is the monster that you have been waiting for as per some of your requests. So this is going to be a series. It's going to take some time, but let's go ahead and jump right on into the first section. So it's here. Six sections, multiple titles and subtitles, and a lot of stuff going on, especially in section three. And like I said earlier, we're going to be chunking the hell out of this thing. There's just too much going on right now for us to try to skim it. And honestly, I want to know what you spend $2 trillion on. That's a number that I can't even fathom. And I want to know what the hell you get for $2 trillion. I know the news is giving you some basic talking points and dumbed this thing down to the same five-ish bullet points, but at 850-plus pages, just like they did with the Mueller report, they are leaving a lot of stuff out. And that is where this show comes in. By the time you finish listening to this series, you will be some like an expert, at least to the people that's only been following the news. Now, the people that's actually read it, They probably going to have a leg up on you, ain't going to front. But you're going to be something like a boss after you finish going through all of these shows. So what we're going to focus on with this first show of the series is Section 1. And with well over 1 million people infected globally and hundreds of thousands of people right here in the States paired up with the tens and tens of thousands of deaths globally, almost 100,000 deaths globally now, and the more than 10,000 here in the United States that have died, I think that number is closing in on 20,000, you should respect the grind and the time and take interest in what your government is doing during these times. So let's go ahead and get into it. This show will be on Section 1. Now, Section 1 is titled Keeping Workers Paid and Employed, Healthcare System Enhancements and Economic Stabilization, and is an inclusion of the Keeping American Workers Paid and Employed Act. Now, it covers paycheck protection, entrepreneurial development, state trade, waivers of the matching fund requirements, loan forgiveness, direct appropriations, minority business development, treasury program management authority, emergency EIDL grants. And EIDL stands for Economic Injury What is it? Economic injury. I don't even have it in my notes. Economic injury, direct loan grant, something like that. Hold on. I'm going to look it up right now. Ah, I was one word off. Economic injury, disaster loan emergency. I had it. I knew what it was. But anyway, emergency EIDL grants, resources and services in non-English languages, subsidy for loan payments, bankruptcy, and emergency rulemaking authority. Now, the very first thing we're going to jump into is this paycheck protection program, because I know everybody worried about protecting their paychecks, and you should be worried about protecting your paycheck. Anyways, the very first thing this package does is establish a program that allows the Small Business Administration to issue loans with 100% backing by the federal government. Now, it covers loans made between February 15th, 2020 and June 30th, 2020 to eligible people or entities. Now, when I say people, I mean self-employed people, of course. They have access to this program provided they meet eligibility requirements spelled out in the Families First Act that we covered the last show that we did. And those requirements are that they regularly carry on any trade or business that would be entitled to receive paid leave during the taxable year under the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act if they were employed by an employer, and that their trade or business be within the meaning of 1402 of the respective code. Now, nonprofits can also apply for these loans. Yippee! Anyways, these loans can be used for payroll with a few exceptions, such as payments of a salary or contract that equals more than $100,000 a year, or for paying taxes under chapters 21, 22, or 24. And for paying compensation of employees that live outside of the U.S. You can't use this money to pay sick leave wages or family leave wages. Now, these loans go through the same process as standard Small Business Administration loans, and all loans made under this system must be registered within 15 days of the loans being made. Now, that is a requirement of the lending institution, not of you, the person applying for the loan or the entity applying for the loan. Now, the eligibility for this program is increased for certain businesses and organizations, provided they employ less than 500 employees or they employ the standard size in terms of employees as established by the SBA for the industry in concern, whichever number is bigger. Now, businesses with more than one location are eligible as long as they don't employ more than 500 employees per location, and that it has a North American Industry Classification System, or a NAICS code that starts with 72. And this is accommodation and food service businesses. So your hotels, your fast food joints, your RV parks, your caterers, your mobile food trucks, such. Anything that offers you a place to lay your head, get some scrub, get some grub. You know the deal. All types of businesses like that, they qualify. Now, for these businesses, there is a waiver for affiliation concerns as well when applying for an SBA loan. Now, affiliation effects or considerations are placed regarding the size of an organization. So if your organization is really small, but you have really big affiliates, then you're not necessarily considered a small business. So the maximum amount of the loan that can be made is a calculation based on the payroll cost incurred during the year before the date on the loan and several other factors that are specific to applicants, or $10 million, whichever one is, you know, the deal. So here's the deal with affiliates. So if you have a business, right, and somebody else has influence or controlling interest in your business, whether or not they exercise that control or not, and they are a large business, then your small business is no longer a small business by SBA standards. Okay? Okay. Good? Good. Got it. Now, check this out. The beef I have with this one piece, and this is small beef, but it's significant in my opinion, and all my beefs are significant in my opinion. So, check your ego at the door. Here's what I'm saying. Look, so in order to be considered a small business, there is both, in some instances, a income requirement, you can't make over a certain amount of money, and an employee requirement, you can't have a certain amount of people work for you. Duh. Makes sense, right? Of course it does. Makes a lot of sense. Now, in this law, they make no statements about the income requirements of a small business in order to cater to, or in order to be, in order to have access to these funds. Meaning that a business that employs two people but makes $100 million a year is still considered a small business under these standards, if I'm reading this right. Now, there is a chance that I'm reading this wrong. And if I am, I'm sure somebody will let me know. But if I'm reading this right, then that's kind of like BAP to me. Like, that's kind of trash to me. That opens the door for a lot of people and a lot of entities to have access to this money that don't necessarily need access to this money. And since there is a limit to the amount of money actually appropriated to this part of the bill, to this part of the law, it means that there might be people that actually need this money that won't get it. And there definitely is going to be a clogging up of the system of people that don't necessarily need this money trying to get it. That's just me, but it is a rub I have as I was reading through this thing. So the next thing here is, in addition to payroll costs, this money can be used for the continuation of group health care benefits, interest on mortgage payments, not the mortgage itself, just the interest, rent, utilities, and interest on other debts. Businesses also have to have been in operation on February 15th, 2020, and had a payroll or independent contractors. Now, these loans are non-recourse loans, meaning the lender can't go after the borrower for non-payment. Yes, you heard that right. The lender can't go after the borrower for non-payment. I will repeat. The lender can't go after the borrower for non-payment. Once again, the lender can't go after the borrower for non-payment. I can't hear you. The lender can't go after the borrower for non-payment unless the borrower violates one of the stated conditions. Now, one of those stated conditions are that the loan request is made to support ongoing operations, that the funds will be used to retain workers and maintain payroll, make mortgage, rent, utility, or lease payments, that the applicant does not have another application pending for a loan under this program, and that the applicant has not received funds under this program for the same purpose. The fee for these loans is also waived. So the fee for these loans is also waived. Now, the fee for these loans are also waived. Personal guarantees and collateral requirements are also waived. Personal guarantees and collateral are also waived. So if we go back to the remix I did earlier, the lender can't go after the borrower for non-payment. And then we fast forward and we include the fee for these loans. It's also waived? What? Waived? What? Waived? What? Waived? What? Waived? What? Waived? What? Personal guarantees and collateral requirements are also waived. Personal guarantee. You get the deal. This is interesting. They can't go after you for non-payment. The fees is waived. Personal guarantees and collateral requirements are also waived. And the interest rate on these loans can't be more than 4%. These loans have also have a payment deferment from 6 months to a year. Within 30 days, the SBA has to, SBA, Small Business Administration, has to provide guidance to lenders on the deferment process. Now, the loans can also be sold on the secondary market, but the SBA cannot collect fees for the sales. That means that if you get one of these loans from a financial institution, say your bank, like Mechanics and Farmers, for instance, is offering $1 million in loans under this program, they can take that money, barring any other restrictions. They can take the loan that they've given you, bottle up that debt, and sell it to another financial institution or another agency or another something in order to recoup their losses immediately. Now, the SBA can't collect fees on that sale, but the financial institution itself can. So, or can issue the sale and get their money back. So, in that, you could say it's a plus for the people and for the financial institution, because not only is the money 100% back federally, but the money also, but the debt can also be packaged up and sold on the secondary market. And you can feel how you want to feel about the secondary market, especially following the crash of the housing market back in the day. I understand that, but it still exists. So, the loans can be sold on the secondary market, but the SBA cannot collect fees for the sales. Now, they have a maturity term of 10 years, meaning the payment plan is structured for 10 years. And they have a risk weight of zero, meaning they don't count towards the special capital requirements that determine how much cash a financial institution must keep on hand. Now, the amount of cash a bank or any other financial institution must keep on hand is directly related to the risk of the amount of debt that they have. The amount of potential pullouts can be occurred from that institution. So basically, this thing is risk-free. It means that a bank can issue out as many of these loans as possible and not have to keep any extra cash on hand. And of course, that makes perfect sense because it's 100% backed by the federal government. Anyways, moving forward, a waiver is also applied to the troubled debt restructuring of loans made in this program so that they don't have to comply with the Financial Accounting Standards Board account standards until a federal banking agency or National Credit Union Administration Board determines it appropriate. Now, the SBA has to reimburse a lender authorized to make a covered loan based on the balance of the outstanding financing at the time of disbursement. 5% for loans of $350,000 or less, 3% for loans between $350,000 and $2 million, and 1% for loans more than $2 million. Now, that doesn't really mean a whole lot to the average person out there, or maybe even the average business owner out there that's just trying to get this money. That's just a little tidbit about what's happening on the back end with regards to the SBA and the financial institutions that are issuing out loans. Now, an agent that assists an eligible recipient to prepare an application for a covered loan may not collect a fee in excess of the SBA limits, and reimbursement has to be made within 5 days of the loan being disbursed. Business concerns, businesses owned by minorities, women that operate in underserved and rural communities, veterans, and concerns owned and controlled by socially and economically disadvantaged people or businesses in operation for less than 2 years should take priority. Now, there is no prepayment penalty, and the SBA is authorized $350 million for the loan programs created during the emergency. Now, these loans are eligible for forgiveness. Within 90 days of a loan being forgiven, the amount being forgiven and any interest owed will be sent to the lender using federal funds. Advanced loan forgiveness is also available, but that only covers the principal. However, no amount of forgiveness can be more than the principal. Loan forgiveness cannot be granted without documentation, and what documentation is required is up to the SBA to determine. And within 60 days of an application for forgiveness being made, a decision has to be returned to the applicant. Lenders won't be subject to liability and or negative consequences by the SBA for loans with documented and verified requests for forgiveness. Forgiven loans are also not to be considered gross income. Within 30 days of the enactment of this law, the SBA will issue guidance and regulations regarding loan forgiveness. So that basically means that if you get a loan and the loan is forgiven, it's money under the table. Yeah. That just happened. Regarding entrepreneurial development, the SBA can provide financial assistance in the form of grants to its resource partners to provide education, training, and advising to cover small businesses. These grants can be used to educate, train, advise businesses and their employees on accessing and applying for federal resources, transmission of COVID-19, almost said COVID-20. Hopefully we won't have a COVID-19, and other communicable diseases, potential effects of COVID-19 on supply chains, distribution, and sale of products or of covered small business concerns, and the mitigation of those effects. The management and practice of telework, remote customer service, risk and mitigation of cyber threats, and the mitigation of effects of reduced travel or outside activities, and other relevant business practices and concerns regarding COVID-19 and other similar situations. So to sum it all up, PPE is big, it's expensive, and it's free money. That's what it reads to me. Free money for everybody that qualifies. And considering the amount of businesses that have been impacted by COVID-19, every business qualifies. Seems just about. Yeah, but I mean, it's a minority of businesses that don't qualify. Even the large businesses, apparently, because if there are no stipulations with regards to income, there are a lot of most American businesses do not employ 500 people. So, and I know there was that stipulation about standard size per SBA numbers. I'm going to be honest. With the way this whole thing is set up and being rolled out and the confusion over oversight, this is free money for people that apply and can make it look like, as long as you were in operation before this thing, before COVID-19 really kicked off, you probably can get some money and you probably should try. It just is what it is. And now, that was the longest section, and I actually accidentally included the entrepreneurial development program, which kind of started when I started talking about the SBA providing financial assistance in the form of grants. But before that, it was all one, pretty much one section on the Payment Protection Plan, the triple P's at the B's. So, you know, it's going to get a lot short. The sections are going to get a lot shorter from here, but let's go ahead and get into it. Are you ready? Now, regarding resource partner association grants, access to the grants are pursuant to a formula jointly developed, negotiated, and agreed to by the SBA and the Small Business Development Center associations. Now, the goals and metrics of the grants are also based on the agreed terms between these organizations, and the methodology used to develop the metrics and goals also have to be publicly available. Now, 80% of the funds authorized will be awarded as grants, and the other 20% will be awarded to women's business centers. Matching funds are not required for any of these grants. And what matching funds is when you get a federal grant and they say, okay, you've got this grant on the federal level. Now you need to go and get public sector funds to match up what we're giving you. That's waived. You don't have to go and find money. Now, within 6 months of this law passing, which would be September 27th, 2020, a report has to be generated for Congress that details the program, services, outreach, and challenges faced by small businesses. Now, grants made through the STEP are the Estate of Trade Expansion Program, which is a program that awards resources to state organizations to increase small business exports and exporters in their state using money from fiscal year 2018 or 2019, are extended through the year 2021. Now, reimbursements are available for businesses that suffer financial losses due to foreign trade impacts solely due to COVID-19. And if a business gets a grant, but the reimbursement cannot be more than the awarded grant. And that's like a duh. Anyways, $349 billion is appropriated for the SBA Business Loans Program account. $675 million is appropriated for the SBA salaries and expenses related to the SBA expenses. And that we're actually seeing a lot of that in the play right now because the Small Business Administration is on a huge hiring drive right now. If you've been on the internet, you've seen the advertisements that they're, you know, for the temp positions that they're hiring to facilitate all of this stuff. $25 million for expenses related to the Office of the Inspector General. That office is in turmoil right now. $265 million for entrepreneurial development programs and $10 million for the Department of Commerce Minority Business Development Agency to provide technical assistance. Yay! The minorities get to provide technical assistance. Yay! Now, $10 billion for SBA Emergency Economic Injury Disaster Loan Grants. Boom! Y'all ain't think I remember what it was, but I knew what it was the first time. I just got twisted. $17 billion for a different aspect of covering SBA loans involving payments. $25 million for the Department of Treasury, department offices, salaries, and expenses. Because you got to pay them people because they finna be working a lot of hours. Uh-huh. That's finna happen. Now, small business guarantees regarding the secondary market cannot exceed $100 billion. And within 6 months of this law passing, the SBA is required to submit an expenditure plan for using appropriated funds. Y'all think that's going to happen? 6 months? They're going to create a plan? They're going to send the plan to Congress 6 months after they get the money for what they going to do with the money. Congress could give me $100 billion. They give me any of it. They give me $1 million. I'll give them a plan in 6 months. So they live. Now, regarding minority business development, resources are also provided for minority business centers and chambers of commerce to provide education, training, and advising to minority business enterprises at the discretion of the Minority Business Development Agency of the Department of Commerce. Now, all this centers around resources and training available for COVID-19 related matters. No matching funds are required for these grants either. And all of the same rules apply to these grants as applies to the organizational grants I spoke about earlier. Minority business centers can cancel fees because of COVID-19 and the center will still be in compliance as long as it provides notice to the Minority Business Development of the Department of Commerce and the Minority Business Development center within 15 days confirms receipt of the notification and accepts the decision of the center. Now, within 6 months of the law being passed, the Minority Business Development of the Department of Commerce, the MBDDC is what we're going to call that from now on because that's a lot, will submit a report to Congress on programs and services developed and provided by the MBDDC. And the grant serviced and the impact of those grants. $10 million are appropriated to carry out this section and will remain available until spent. Now, we're going to move a little bit. Now, regarding the United States Treasury Program Management Authority, the Treasury Department is responsible for establishing criteria for financial institutions that don't participate in lending programs through the SBA to participate in the Paycheck Protection Program during the emergency declaration. But they must also be insured and their participation cannot interfere with the soundness or safety of the institution or lender. Now, loans have to follow the same rules as mentioned earlier in regards to purpose, interest rates, guarantees, forgiveness, and deferments. And while the Treasury provides guidance, the SBA administers the programs. Now, as for the economic injury disaster loan grants, these are loans made to all small entities, for-profit or nonprofit, and they can all apply for these. Now, the SBA, at their discretion, may approve applications based solely on the credit score without a need for tax documents. Now, personal guarantees on loan advances less than $200,000 are covered for all applicants. businesses only need to have been in operation since January 31st, 2020, and alternative methods to determine the ability to repay are approved. Now, as for grants, COVID-19-related disruptions in activities can warrant an advance in the amount of requests at the discretion of the SBA within 3 days of applying. Organizations will be required to self-verify under pain of perjury for their grants. The amount in advance cannot be more than $10,000. Funds can be used for all of the reasons mentioned earlier. Repayment is not required for any of the advances, even if the loan is denied, and $10 billion is appropriated for this section. Now, the grant program will be terminated December 31st, 2020. $25 million is appropriated for giving the translations or for translating the information into the top 10 most commonly spoken languages in the U.S. $17 billion is appropriated for subsidizing of loans, and bankruptcy or debt reorganization has been redefined by the first section of this law, providing another avenue for small businesses to get through this thing without closing down altogether. Now, within 15 days of this law passing, the SBA must issue regulations to carry out everything we have talked about today. And if you are curious about the exact verbiage, definitely go and check it out. And that was section one. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun, especially if you're a nerd or a geek, or both, because I'm both. I'm a nerd in general, but I geek out over certain things. And policy is one of those things that I geek out about. Overall, I do think this will be something from just this first section speaking to. I do have my concerns about the accessibility of the funds to people that don't, organizations that don't need it. I have my concerns about oftentimes when programs and things like this are created under the premise of protecting the people that actually need it don't actually find out about these programs, or these programs come too late. The people have already made decisions. I say that because a number of small businesses have already closed their doors, and it's going to be interesting to see if some of those businesses or industries, I'm sorry, not industries, but if some of those businesses apply for some of these grants, some of these loans, and get some of that money and open back up, or if, you know, they opt not to, it's going to be real interesting to see how this plays. And as far, especially as far as the Black community goes, it's going to be real interesting to see how far this money reaches into the Black business community and how far it reaches into the Black nonprofit sector, and create some changes there, because I know a lot of nonprofits had things in the works that were put on hold. I know a lot of nonprofits that had things that was already rolled out that have now they've had to pull those programs all together. And I know a lot of small businesses that were just starting up or that have been starting up and were finally starting to get to a point of being able to make substantial money. And then this whole thing happened. So, of course, I'm going to be advocating that those people go ahead and apply to try to get some money, to try to recoup some losses and continue their organizations and moving the directions that they wanted them to move. But it is always interesting to see how these things fold out. I'm also going to be interesting to see how the process works, because this thing doesn't really outline any of the processes. It outlines what's available and how they want things to play out, but it doesn't necessarily outline the processes for how people are going to have to move and navigate through this thing to get access to some of these resources. So I am interested in that, and I would in general like policy to be more focused on the process, but I understand their need to want to just get something out there and allow the process to follow later. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that approach, because $2 trillion is a lot of fucking money. But I understand the necessity for it. So, see you guys next week for the next section of $2 trillion. What the hell am I gonna do with that? Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gonna do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings.
If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.